Gamertag Radio presents E3 coverage. Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
All right, so we're still at E3, and you know every year we always have to have Aaron Greenberg. Aaron, what's going on, man?
Not much,
Head
man.
Of marketing, right? Head of marketing?
Something Xbox? Like that. They pay me. I work on video games. I love what I do. I'm very grateful for that.
By the way, I know you are curious to see, hear from Paris, his feedback about the press conference.
Yeah, absolutely.
He said it was the best one in 10 years. Best one in 10 years.
My Paris. Heart.
And the reason why.
Let's hear it.
Games, the roadmap.
Yep.
I think you guys nailed it in the park, man. It was
awesome.
Perfect, man. Perfect. So one thing that surprised me is why talk about next generation console? Tease it. Not talked about a lot, but just tease it. Like, why now? Why not focus on the other services that you guys talked about?
Well, we are. I mean, we spent, an hour and 45 minutes or something. And
yeah.
An hour and 44 minutes of that talking about the here and now. I think what we basically just want people to know is that, we have a dedicated team at Microsoft. Phil Spencer now reports to the CEO of the company, focused on gaming as a big strategic bet for the company, which means we are investing. So the folks that are investing in us, we are investing in you to continue to bring more games. You saw us double our first party creative studios. You saw more third party games on our stage than ever before. Mm-hmm. You saw us talk about the fact that we're innovating with Microsoft AI. Cloud gaming, there's a team dedicated on that.
Yep.
And we want people to know that even with all that, don't worry, we'll continue to innovate in hardware. So it wasn't anything about a hardware announcement, it was just to let people know that our focus is we want to continue to bring our commitment to bring the best hardware experience to our customers, just like we have today, and we continue to be committed to that.
And I know the first trailer you showed was Halo Infinite. By the way, it looks phenomenal, it looks really good. Now, I'm very curious. You guys are really taking your time with this title, which is good. I think that's a positive thing, man. What you could talk about Halo, the next Halo? I know you're taking your time with it. So
one thing I think is worth pointing out in that is that our growth and our investment also includes our existing studios.
Okay.
So what you're seeing from 343 is the team saying, think bigger, think bolder, maybe even take a little more time to make something that's not just Halo 6. Like, what if you could have, the ability to think really big? And so, what if you could build a whole new engine? And so the team has done that with the Slipspace engine. The team has got really ambitious plans. That's why we're calling it Halo Infinite. That's why it's a story centered on Master Chief. That's kind of about all we're saying right now, but just know that it's an example of our growing commitment, not just to add more teams to studios, but also to let our internal studios do more than maybe what they traditionally have done.
So for 4 years, I've been saying that Battletoads is coming back. For 4 years. Every year, it never happened. Then I think there was 1 year that Phil had the Battletoads logo shirt. I'm like, it's going to happen. I was so happy. And everybody that listened to the show was like, Danny, I thought about you, man. So Battletoads coming.
Yeah.
Now, interesting, I was checking out the developers that are working on it.
Yeah.
It's not Rare. It's a different company. And my question is why you guys went out that route to go with a different
developer.
Well,
it's a Rare title in the sense of it's their IP. They, development's a complex process, but a lot of internal development teams will use other partners to help supplement or will almost like publish within a team.
Okay.
But they found this creative team, Delala, that really has a lot of passion around creating kind of 2.5D type games and art. They've worked on, a lot of different titles kind of in that space.
Yeah.
And they had a great pitch about what they would love to do with Battletoads that very much resonated with Rare, that resonated with our team. And so, it's exciting. I mean, I think obviously the team at Rare is really focused on Sea of Thieves. They have a number of dedicated teams there. They just completed Hungering Deep. We got, two other big releases coming. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to take away from Sea of Thieves, but how can we kind of add capacity? That's another great example of growing our investment in our first-party content.
Yeah, speaking about the first-party, a lot of new studios too. I was very surprised about Ninja Theory. That came out of nowhere. I was not expecting that. But, yeah, tell us, you know, how that came about, man. How long you guys been working on that behind the scenes?
Well, you know, what you're seeing is, if you think about, hey, you saw Halo, Gears, Forza, some of the biggest franchises we're kind of known for, we really wanted to think about how can we diversify our portfolio. We put the player first in like all these decisions. And when we look at, take Ninja Theory as an example.
Yeah.
This is an incredible team that we have a relationship with from way back in the day, even back from the Kung Fu Chaos days. People may remember that. It's a fun game. But you know, they would describe themselves as somewhere between kind of an indie dev and a AAA dev. And you know, they've done a bunch of work for hire projects in order to have the resources to go create what they wanted to do with Hellblade. And so now, being part of our family, it allows them to not only have the financial freedom, but also the creative freedom and the ability to think big and continue their journey of what they've created. They're such a talented team. And it's really, you know, it's a huge honor to add them. You know, we're big fans of their work. A lot of us played Hellblade and just loved that title, in addition to other stuff they've done. And yeah, so I mean, it worked. And those things don't always work, but we were focused, as Phil said. You know, we now have dedicated leadership under Matt Booty as the head of Microsoft Studios, and you've seen us really step up with, you know, doubling literally at E3 of our creative teams.
Yeah, that was really awesome, man. Now, one thing is the industry has been changing now for a couple of years. Companies now are either changing their press conferences or doing it via video, and I feel like you guys are still doing the old way. I think it's important to me because you're interacting with the fans and stuff. So, like that moment, you know, Phil Spencer mentioning about the different studios. Oh, not one, not two, but five. You know, like,
did you like that?
Yeah, the crowd was going crazy.
It was.
I think that was a very special moment. You know,
yeah.
So why is it important to still keep it that way at the traditional press conferences?
Yeah, I mean, we sit down and talk about what we want to do. We don't go, oh, I wonder what someone else is going to do.
Yeah.
You know, and so for us, we had an opportunity to move to the Microsoft Theater. In fact, by moving here, we're able to bring in three times the number of fans than we ever did before.
We're able
to bring in more press, more partners. So it's a larger venue. That was really attractive to us. The audio, visual quality here is superb. You know, they hold, you know, really world-class kind of events, concerts, award shows here.
Yeah.
So that was unique. And then even using the space, we actually have more interactives here than we did in our booth last year. So it turned out to be a great bet. And then, yeah, we built a live show, and we think that the crowd and the fans are really part of our family and the community, and we wanted to do that with them and celebrate that with them. So we have a very kind of inclusive point of view on how we think about gaming and our fans, and that definitely led into that strategy.
I know there's a lot of fans that have been requesting this game for you guys to have it available for the Xbox One. It's Jet Set Radio Future, from the original Xbox. People have been requesting this a lot. So what we could do to get your attention to bring back those old games and have it available comeback, VC.
I love it. And I love all the lists of games. And, you know, since the day, you know, we launched Xbox One, people were like, we want back compat. We want, you know, and we worked hard to do that. And then they were like, we want Call of Duty and back compat.
Then
we want Red Dead and back compat.
It gets harder.
And then they were like, hey, no, we don't want back compat. Now we want OG Xbox back compat. So I think the team's done a lot. You know, I'm a big fan of Jet Set Radio Future.
Yeah.
Played the game back in the day. It's not our IP, so any of these things you should go talk to generally the people that own the game.
Yeah.
But I will say what I love about this time right now is the power of the fans. Their voices are heard. They tweet. They YouTube. You know, they podcast, and they're reaching out, and companies are listening. And so, you know, there is a reason why all these back-and-back titles third-party partners have approved and put on the service. And so I'd say be vocal if you feel passionate about it, but also realize at the end of the day that, you know, companies have a set of resources they have to kind of prioritize against.
Yeah.
This is a business.
Yeah.
And so if there's a business case and opportunity, that's generally where you're going to see the most traction. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we will always come with our hearts. So yeah, we love Battletoads as an example.
Yeah.
So that was a heart. That was a heartfelt one. I've loved the predictions every year. It's been fun to hear, but I'm glad we're able to finally deliver on that one.
You know what was my favorite moment at a press conference was seeing a disabled gamer on stage playing for the first time in the history of E3, I think.
Yeah.
I think that was a very special moment
because
they're also part of the community. You know?
Absolutely.
So I think you guys made the right move doing that and also create that new controller for disabled gamers. Can you also tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, we have an incredible team within the company. We have an inclusive lab. We have a bunch of folks in the hardware team that really work on inclusive design. We even have an initiative within the company called Gaming for Everyone, where it's really a culture and a mindset that gaming can be that equalizer. And, you know, we've been so inspired by talking to disabled gamers, by talking to folks that are from all different types of minority groups that find gaming as that kind of safe haven. And so one of the things that we learned a lot about was, and led to the development of the adaptive controller, was, you know, some of the limitations the traditional controller has. And the adaptive controller is a product that, you know, we don't make for profit. This was not a, you know, business opportunity, if you will, but it's going to allow so many more people to now play and become part of the Xbox community. And, you know, that's really inspiring. And in fact, we did have somebody there in the Forza demo. And we want to be careful, like, not to try to shine too much of a light on it because we're doing it for them, not for us. But it is pretty amazing. You know, I know the folks at Special Effect have played part in it. The folks at Able Gamers have played part of it. Know Steve and the team there. And so we want to continue to help support that community. And it's inspiring. I mean, I had someone come up to me last night at our fan fest and said, listen, I am a transgender gamer and developer. I identify as a lesbian. And I've always found it really hard to be accepted in the gaming community. But with this team, everybody here makes me feel like I'm welcomed.
That's awesome.
And, you know, and a few minutes later, Sightless Combat, if you know, who's a gamer without sight, who plays through audio cues, was there talking to us about how we need to add more accessibility to our game. So the team is really listening and cares a lot. And, I mean, it's... We all work so hard at what we do, but to see how much gaming can have a difference in people's lives is what really inspires us.
Was there a reason why Gears Tactics, like I'm a huge fan of Gears, was there a reason why it's not on Xbox and OC for PC?
Laughing because
like Halo Wars, it was available for both, right?
Yeah.
So I was very surprised you guys announced it like that way.
Yeah, you know, that's probably a better question for Rod Ferguson, but here's what I'll tell you from spending time with that team.
Yeah.
Is they had a real vision about making not just Gears 5. By the way, Gears 5 is like
phenomenal.
Much bigger than anyone thinks. Like, I mean, more some open cool open world elements, new color palette. Now we're gonna tell it through Kate's eyes, which is great. But they're big fans of the turn-based strategy tactics genre.
Yeah.
And they thought, hey, what if we did that in the Gears universe? I think one of the things you'll hear from developers is you kind of have to focus specifically on like who is your audience and what is the type of game you're making. And so they're going to focus at first for keyboard and mouse. But that doesn't mean that the title will only forever be on PC. But you want to, generally, if you make a game and it's like playable on like 7 different inputs, you're not going to get a great world-class experience. At the same time, you know, I love what they're doing with Gears Pop, being able to have Gears in my pocket with a Funko Pop, vinyls, we all have those. So, you know, the team has never made anything but great games, and I trust that they will make great games.
Yeah.
And the nice thing is that, you know, Gears 5 will be available on console and PC.
Yeah.
Gears Pop will be totally. And then, so it's exciting. And we got, you know, 2 new Gears games coming next year. And then Tactics in development as well. So I admire their focus. But I'm sure they're listening to the console fans.
That's good.
And, again, speak loud. Let yourself be heard.
Yeah.
The team will listen.
All right, so this is not a question. It's more of a request. So
sure.
My nephew, he's 6 years old.
Oh, I love it.
He's a huge fan of Cuphead. He is better than me in Cuphead.
Wow.
He actually finished it in the hardest difficulty, 100%.
Wow!
So when you guys announced that there is going to be a new playable character, DLC,
yeah.
He cried, man.
No way.
Yeah, he cried. He's a huge fan of that, man.
That's amazing.
So
that's awesome.
Can you give a shout out to Blake and Aiden?
Blake, yeah, let me talk. Hey, yeah. Blake. First off, I'm a little upset to hear that at 6 years old, you're schooling us. But you are the future. You're the future of video games. You are the future, and so mad props on those awesome Cuphead skills.
Yes.
I'd also say, let's not forget about Mugman. You know, he's an equal role in the game, often forgotten because the game's name is Cuphead. But, you know, Mugman deserves some respect, too. And hopefully you'll go easy here on Godfrey,
yes,
and let him win once in a while. But we know you're the one with the real skills. So
yeah,
congrats. And the Moldenhauer family, you know, up in Toronto's working hard on more Cuphead for you. And can't wait to see you you beat it. And hopefully you're uploading and streaming it, too.
Yeah, definitely, man. All right, Aaron, thanks a lot, man. Every year, we always have a great conversation.
Absolutely,
man. So
man.
Thanks a lot, man.
Good.
Congrats,
to see you,
man.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.